Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about those New York Jets? An improbable come-from-behind victory against the Cincinnati Bengals, finally getting off the schneid, BT. A much-needed win for Aaron Glenn and for Justin Fields and really for the franchise to avoid a winless season, because it was looking like that might be the case after what they played against the Panthers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and they needed this, obviously. You know, it just a brutal day for the Jet fan, and really just a brutal day for New York sports. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Mangold here. One of those. I think Nick was like the perfect combination of tough when you need to be in terms of being on the field, and gracious and caring off. You guys, I think Hoff texted us, and I was watching my daughter's soccer game, so I was kind of unplugged from social media as I am when I'm watching my kids play, and I just heard the ding, and I'm like I don't know that I've been that stunned in a while, bro. You know, when people get older, yeah, it's sad. Like when Coach Carter-Seco passed away and I was in Dallas during Thanksgiving, I was really sad, but he was 99. You know, and you're talking about a man with four children and a wife. You know, we get wrapped up in this radio thing and the sports thing and, you know, our teams. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. 41 years of age. So the Jets family did a phenomenal job with the tributes. You know, Darrell Revis and former players. I watched Bart on SNY. Willie Colon couldn't even speak before he was able to compose himself. Rex Ryan on ESPN was, I mean, bawling. This is a man who was loved by a lot of people, Nick Mangold, man. That's the first thing. Before we even get into the game, it's like I can't shake it. You know, it's weird. I still feel it, and I still think about it. And it's eventually going to pass, you know, and he's in a better place. I certainly believe that. But the suddenness of this, like, we just had him on the show. You were off. I had him on August 26th.
Okay.
He was on our show.
I don't remember it, so that's all.
You were off August 26th. And, you know, when you hear kidney and dialysis and transplant, you know there's urgency there. But didn't you think there were at least a couple of months runway to get this thing
100%
stabilized?
And I figured somebody was going to donate the kidney to him and get him all good to go and back up and running, however that would take. I was shocked when I saw it on social media. Shocked and disturbed, like you said. It takes a lot for me to get to that level, just being through some of the stuff that I've been through. It's not 41 years old. It's like,
yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
horrible. I did not, and such, like you said, such a big personality and lovable personality for years, even without knowing him. You could feel that across the TV or wherever it was, hearing him on the radio, all those different things. I didn't realize, though, that the Jets, so he's in their Ring of Honor?
Yeah. Assuming, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
So then I knew that they were on it, but I get the Ring of Honor confused. I assume that Ring of Honor is also number retired. Like 74 should be retired.
Yeah, sometimes I get confused with that too. I mean, a guy's going to be a Hall of Famer eventually.
Yeah.
His numbers are there. You're talking about, you know, 7 Pro Bowls and a couple of All Pros. Everybody knows what he did. But the thing about the Jets that's really unique and why he's unique, think about some of their all-time players. And he is one of their all-time players. Like, Revis was an all-time player, but he bounced and he won a championship elsewhere. And, you know, Namath fizzled out with the Rams and, you know, Keyshawn left and Curtis came from the Pats and I could go so on and so forth. But there's very few players in Jets history that played their entire career here and were really associated with winning. If you really think about that, what Jets win? That you really think about, that guy was a winner. Well, he was. I mean, he went to back-to-back AFC Championship games, and he was a great, great player. So it's just, it is really, really sad, and it keeps pouring in, and we'll keep his spirit alive. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I think about this stuff, and I really struggle. And then we'll get to some game stuff. I don't know if you do this too. I struggle. When it's tragic, I don't mean an older figure, well, even though that could be sad for sure. When there's a tragedy, I always feel like I'm not going to say enough, like I'm not going to be able to communicate what's really in my heart. Like because it's a different conversation. We're used to opening up the microphone and letting it rip and talking shop, but... So I just hope that everybody knows how much this man was loved. You do. You absolutely do. And I hope that you know how much I love him. Nick was the best.
And it was nice to see the Jets honor him by getting a win yesterday, their first one, obviously on the road like that, comeback fashion. A really incredible performance, BT, when you think about it. And this is something that I was a week early with this. This is something that I expected them to do against the Panthers a week ago. Run the football. You don't need Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner to stick to your strengths running the football. And that's something obviously Mangold could have been proud of. Behind that offensive line, run the football. That's when they had their success years ago with him up front, with DeBrickishaw Ferguson, all that stuff. So the Jets are built to do that, and they haven't done it nearly enough this year at all. As a matter of fact, I would say the Fields yesterday, I was expecting him to run a little bit more. He wasn't running it. He was throwing the football. So an overall incredible comeback. I'm not going to say it was a great performance because it wasn't. I mean, down as big as they were, just on the brink of getting the knockout punch, but they hung in there. They did show grit to the head coach's pleasure. He loved to see that, a nice gritty performance. But an impressive win to get their first win, get off the schneid, and maybe calm things down a little bit, getting that goose egg off the board.
And I enjoyed it. And I know not every Jet fan did, which is part of the torturous history of being a Jet fan. Because now I don't think this is the majority of people, because it's still a little bit too early in the season for this. But I've seen some stuff. I've even got some texts from buddies. Here we go. Jets going to give up the first overall pick because of this win. Guys, I mean, it's too early for that. And I've been criticized for this. Not that I care, but I've been very open with you guys. Like, when it's late in seasons and the Jets are awful, I'll bet against the Jets. When it's late in the season and we're talking about first, second, third overall pick, I don't want the Jets to win. This is different. First of all, if the Jets, and I never thought they were going to go winless. I never thought that at all. But if they did, there's zero chance Aaron Glenn comes back. And I don't know if Aaron Glenn's going to eventually be the guy who gets the Jets out of the doldrums here. But, you know, you've got to at least give him a chance to plant some seeds and stack some bricks here. So I don't get wrapped up in the draft stuff, number one. I thought they played hard, which is great. I don't know how they won. I still don't know how they scored almost 40 points.
No, the Bengals stink.
I know, but so but the Jets are worse. Yeah. I mean, we all know the Bengals' defense is wretched, but we all know that the Jets are right there with the Titans and the Browns. So when I found out about Nick's passing, I was watching my daughter's game. When I had to leave and my son had a football game, so I was watching and then DVRing whatever, the daily juggle that a lot of us do. When I told him that the Jets won when we got in the car, he's like, what? And then we went back and we watched it. And, like, even though I knew that they won, there were still points of the game. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get this first down. There's no way they're going to win this game. There's no way they're going to convert this.
Did you
do
the pod yesterday?
I did not do the pod.
No pod?
I didn't. No. I know. I just had too many family commitments.
They finally won.
I know. At the end of the day, family's going to win out. Trust me, it's one of the only pods. It's the only pod that I've missed, and I'm gonna make one up either tonight or tomorrow for sure. But I couldn't do the immediate reaction. I let people know. Yeah, it would have been nice to get on there and talk about a win.
Yeah.
It really would have been nice. Now, where does this go, like, in the context of the standings? I don't even care. Like, that's not the story. The story is the clown owner ran over the quarterback with a Mack truck during the week. The slings and arrows were everywhere, and the Jets showed a little character and a little fortitude on the road against a very good offensive team that is awful on defense, and they won a game. So I'm not going to make too much more out of it than it really is, except that I'm happy because, you know, the day that we lost Nick, the Jets did find a way to win. But I am happy for Aaron. Like, I, you know, and you and I do share this belief. We don't agree with everything with the Jets and Glenn. You and I both think that there's leadership qualities with him that could come out and could be uplifting in the right circumstances, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I need to see him get through this now and build off of this. Even throughout the course of the game yesterday, there were certain things, like it kicking that first field goal after he went for it from his own 37.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you then, on fourth and one, settle for three? Now, again, you want to say take the points, okay, to add up to a Jets victory, but there are certain things just about the way he coaches where I still think, and it just could be a learning curve, first-time head coach, 0-7 going in, where he's on his heels a little bit. I'd like to see a little more decisiveness, a little more confidence there. I was perplexed by the broadcast being, they were dumbfounded by the fact that the Jets were going for two when they were down seven at the point.
Six.
They were down. They scored the touchdown.
Yep.
And they needed the extra point to get them to within seven.
Yes.
And they go for two. And that to me was the no-brainer right move, because if you don't get it there, you just go for two again. Like, that's an easy spot. And
they were surprised. You're right. The broadcast was like, what are they doing?
It took them a little while to figure it out. So I thought that was the right call for Glenn.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously getting that call overturned, the right thing. So there were some good things, you know, some bad things as well. I mean, Chase Brown was gashing them all day long. They couldn't stop the run. So there's a long way to go. But the fact that they could bounce back at a game that they were on the verge of getting, blown out in, to come back and actually get a win. And I did think, after the way that they performed against Carolina, which to me was despicable, at home against the crappy Panthers, to perform like that, I did think they were going winless, or at least there was a real chance of that. So they bounced back and found a way to beat a bad Bengals team. I don't see many wins left on the schedule here, but now at least that they got the first one, rest up during the bye week here, and then kind of start season two, where you had the experience of eight games, you've got to win, you've got to bye. I'm very curious to see what Aaron Glenn's team looks like after the bye year against a soft schedule, but I still don't think the Jets are very good at all.
It gives you a different level of entry, though, and it's a chance now for Aaron to have some of his, not his contest, but just some of his messaging root now, because no matter how, and he's been combative and he's been a little antagonistic with the media, all right, it's fine if you win. If you don't, you're gonna get yourself run out of town. But I think that when you look at a team that's trying to learn how to win, you can say it over and over, and you can clap your hands, and you can dance up and down the sidelines, and you can gyrate and pump your fist and get everybody jacked up. If there's not a win to reinforce what you try to teach, it's impossible to move forward. Small step forward, but a step, and a good one, so it's good.
Needed the win. Sports Talk on WFAN, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Back to the calls here. We'll talk Jets and Giants. Zach is on Long Island talking about the Giants. What's up, Zach?
Hey, can you guys hear me this time around?
Yes, we got you. What's up?
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for getting back to me. And listen, some of my steam had fallen off, and I may have missed a couple of your responses. But my reason for calling was just getting hot and bothered by a caller saying that we got to get rid of Daboll. I mean, I keep having this conversation with friends, family, coworkers, and I'm sick of it, honestly. Like, people keep saying get rid of Daboll, like you just hire the next guy and it's all going to be, rainbows and butterflies. I can't think of a harder job in professional sports or football, besides being an athlete, than the head coach. I say this all the time to my friends and family. It's skills over schemes. If you don't have the skills, the schemes don't really matter.
That's true.
People want to move on from Daboll and, get the next guy. What happened with Belichick? He was gone. I mean, the skills were gone when Brady left.
Yeah.
The schemes didn't matter. They weren't good.
Yeah, but hold on. But then they got the right guy in Vrabel. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After a one-year disaster, and look at them now.
I mean, that's fair enough, but they also got Drake May and a couple others.
All right, well, the Giants have Jackson Dart.
Zach, do you think Dable's done a good job here as a head coach in 4 years?
I don't think he's done a good job, but he's had an incredibly difficult task at hand. He's had a garbage roster.
Well, everybody that gets fired, they could probably say the same thing. You either, because very rarely, outside of maybe Joe Torre and a few others, like how many times do you start a job where the roster's ready to roll? It's very rare. Generally, you take over a trash team, either the finances are out of whack or the roster's out of whack, and you have no quarterback. So I get it. But at the end of the day, Zach, you either elevate or you don't. And for me, I think for many, the elevation has not been enough. That's all I'm saying.
I have a quick question. I want to do one thing after this, but one quick question. Okay. Besides clock management, how do you really say a coach is doing a god-awful job?
He's picking bad defensive coordinators.
He's losing. That's how.
So that's not Dayball then. So yeah, why can't
no,
we get,
no,
why
no,
can't
Zach,
we roll over
it
some
is.
Of the other ones?
It is. Who is it? Who is it? It is Dable. He's the head coach.
I mean, I guess you're fair. He's picking the staff. I understand that. You know, he's I guess the staff's got to be better.
But the
scheme's got to be better. But how do you know a scheme is bad until you put it out there against other starting players? Schemes look good in practice because you're going against second, third string guys. Everything's good in practice.
Zach, look at, and thank you for the call. Look at his record. Look at how they've lost two games this year. They had no business of losing. They score a dagger touchdown on the road in Dallas under a minute to go. They lose that game. They do the same thing against the Broncos, and they lost again. And if you blame the defensive coordinator, great. And nobody likes the defensive coordinator. Who brought him in? If you don't like the players, then that's Joe Shane. It's year four. They've botched the kicker situation, which cost them games this year, last year. Like, they continue to lose. They're 2-6, and they found the answer at quarterback. Oh, and by the way, in case you forgot, look at what Daniel Jones is doing in Indianapolis. Why couldn't Brian Dable do a fraction of what Daniel Jones is doing with Steichen in Indianapolis? Like, I'm sorry, I've been a bagel. Yeah, I love bagels too. I've been a Dable backer. I just don't. Man, we're gonna see 9 games. There's no need to make a decision now.
True,
but 2-6 is 2-6, and it's been that way for the last 3 years.
Listen, I can understand why Zach pushes back a little bit. I really can. Now, last year, I would have understood that at all because there was just no evidence. The evidence this year is, all right, he's got good synergy with the young quarterback, finally, which is what you are. That's mission number one. Find the quarterback, find a coach that's compatible, whether it's personality and scheme, and let's roll with it. There's also a lot of evidence that he is not a plus coach in late in games, and for all the reasons that we just chronicled, I don't need to keep spitting them out. We know what they are. Now, but I do get what Zach is saying, and which is why we've got 9 more games to go, and we'll see where it goes here. I am just of the mindset, if they believe that they can identify a better coach, a proven coach, and unless it was like Lane Kiffin, who came from Ole Miss, and he did, you know, coach in the NFL, not very good, not very well with the Raiders at all. Like, I'd be open to that. I'm not just going to fire Dable and say, well, what do I do now? Like, there's got to be a plan. And if the plan's appealing, well, then I'd move on. But there's also 9 games to show that maybe he is the right guy for the job. I'm less inclined than Zach, but I get it. I mean,
I'm just thinking, like, at some point, because I was like that a few weeks ago saying I want to see what he could do with Jackson Dart. At some point, you got to start winning some football games here. I don't think the Giants are a well-coached team. And this is year 4. If this were year 2, totally different story. You know what I mean? Like,
I just...
Not to mention he's... Now, I like the fact that he could be a little bit of a hothead.
I got no problem with that.
But that can be... As a head coach, in year 4 especially, and I think the pressure's starting to mount, the stuff with the tent, the medical tent, like, you've got to show a calm demeanor as the leader of a football team. You can't be going nuts like that. And he's done that up and down at times. Like, if you're winning, fine. When you're not winning, I think it makes it look worse. There's just been little things, whether it's yelling at the headset with Wink. Like, there's been over 4 years evidence that you know, those things can could potentially be a detriment, losing your cool as well as a head coach.
He's definitely emotionally volatile. I get it. And when you got the wins, then people are like, look at this guy's intense. He's nuts. He's engaged. He's a nut job. When you don't win and you're a little emotionally, at least the perception that you put out there, a little volatile emotionally, I'm sure he's a little bit different in the building, I would hope. Well, then you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt when, you know, when you win 3, 4, 5 games a year. I don't know, man. I think that they're going to lose a lot of games the rest of the way, and I actually think that there's reasons for that. You know, they don't have a true number one receiver. I don't like their secondary. Now you got Scadaboo out. So I think, though, that if they keep putting up some points and Jackson Dart is balling, I think he's going to be back. And if Dart continues to grow and play well, I don't think I'd go nuts if he's back. As crazy as that sounds, because I've said that I would have fired him last year but and the year before. But the thing that's given me some pause now is, man, you they've been trying to find this quarterback-head coach relationship forever. You finally stumble upon it, or you finally have it, and now you yank the cord? I don't know.
Yeah, if you don't think the guy could win.
Yeah, I mean,
What's the excuse? He's got the quarterback. What's the excuse?
Well, the excuse is the rest of the roster is not very good. It's not. It's not very good. He doesn't have a number one receiver.
Then Joe Shane.
I'm watching the Jets play Jamar Chase. The Giants are running out Darius Slayton.
Yeah, but is that why they lost the Denver game?
No, I'm not saying that.
It's not why they lost the Dallas game.
No, I get that. They do a lot of things wrong, but and this is where I struggle with it, admittedly. Is it all Dable's fault? I don't know. I mean, if the coordinator would have done a better job in Dallas or Denver, he probably gets at least one win there. If the secondary was just better, now I look to Shane, well, then maybe he gets another win. It's just, all I'm saying is I think it's the evaluation's a little trickier because Dart does look good. And I'm not even a big Dable fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.